Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com. Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Today we present part one of National Alliance Chairman William White Williams' recent interview on the David Duke radio program on the Rents Radio Network. Dr. Duke and Chairman Williams discuss a wide range of topics, including the recent Supreme Court confirmation hearings, the wide disparity between whites and non-whites when it comes to violent criminal behavior, and the agenda of the controlled media and the Jewish power structure in presenting our people with a false view of reality, designed to intentionally deceive us and therefore totally disarm us in the war for our very existence, which they are waging against us. Listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends and open-minded people, wherever you live across the United States of America, Europe, and the world, this is David Duke. And it's a very good day today. We're going to be talking with our good friend, Will Williams, and he's of the National Alliance, and he's been around for a long time fighting the good fight for the preservation of the human rights of European Americans and Europeans all over the world, and truly of all humanity, because the Zionist, the Jewish racists, the Jewish supremacists, these Jewish powerful people in banking and media and today's social media, which really controls and manipulates the minds of the world, they create wars and they exploit not just our people. They're driving our people to ethnic cleansing and destruction of our families, but they're doing the same type of thing to the world. I mean, it's amazing. So Will Williams is going to join me. In fact, I'll just go ahead and introduce him right now. Welcome to the show, Mr. Williams. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks, David.
Okay, buddy. It's good to have you on, and you've known me for a long time. You're the only guy that gets to call me David, but I don't mind. You know, I kind of wish sometimes my parents would give me a different name or European-based name.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
but,
David.
But that's okay. That's okay. Anyway, I also believe that we always give titles to people who've earned titles because that's what they do all the time, right? It's Dr. Martin Luther King, right? Even though he plagiarized and didn't get his true doctorate, right? Whenever they have the opportunity, they never give any credit to any of us. I'm identified by the media as former KKK, you know, David Duke, not as former member of the House of Representatives. That's not even in the equation, right? But when you get elected to office, they generally refer to you in public or in an article with your title of your elected office. For instance, if you're a former judge, they call you Judge so-and-so, you know. Judge
former
Judy,
Imperial but, Wizard. When did you leave the Klan? Like 78 or something like that?
Yeah. It was like, well, a long time ago. It's about 43 years ago. And we really salute the fact that you and I both get a little long in the tooth, but you've been in this fight for a long, long time. And I guess the first thing I need to say to you or anybody else like you is to just salute you for your long service to our people, your long service to our human rights, to the foundations and the values of America, to everything that's it's really about human justice. And we white human beings have the same right to preserve our heritage, our land, our traditions, our fundamental freedom as any other people do. That's accepted for everybody else, especially for Jews, right, who kick out 600,000 Palestinians out of their land, right, in just a few decades. But if we simply want to preserve the country we founded, we're those ultimate horrible racists, and yet this is the same media that condemns us for wanting to preserve our white country and our values for our children, not be ethnically cleansed in our own land, is the same media that tells us how wonderful and how human rights devoted are the Jewish people of America and the world.
Yeah, well, I didn't get involved until the mid-80s, and you were already highly involved back in the 70s.
In the 60s. I went to LSU.
Well, high school, yeah, right, yeah.
Even in high school, yeah. So I got a couple, 20 years, but I'll live with that, I wish I will take, how old are you now, Will, if you don't mind me?
I'm 73.
I was going to say, I'd take the years because you're obviously younger than me, but I can't do that now. You'd probably trade your ears with me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I'm still holding it together.
We're trying. I want to start off with the discussion, and I want to share some. I prepared some things for today. I didn't know you were going to be on, but I'm glad we were able to get you on today. And I prepared a couple of things. For one thing, I taped the hearing yesterday for the Supreme Court justice. And let me just start off by saying, and again, we have terrible choices in politics. The Greeks used to call it the lesser of two evils, and that really comes from Odysseus, from the great novel by Homer of Odysseus, who was going through these straits in the Mediterranean. And on one side was a six-headed monster, and which was a very big danger to go by because he might lose six of his crewmen. And the other side was this maelstrom, this whirlpool that would suck the whole ship in and destroy the whole ship. And Odysseus chose to run the ship away from the whirlpool by the monster, which snatched six of his good men, but better to lose six than the whole ship and every man. And it's kind of like that in politics. We kind of commonly say, we say I'm voting for the worst of two evils, the better of two evils. And that's what we have a choice for, which is not much of a choice. And we have both of us, I know, have a lot of disappointment in Trump, and a lot of things that Trump's done we find incredibly angering, if that's the word for it, upsetting. But at the same time, when you look at the radical Democrats who've already promised to criminalize us, who've already promised federal law, which would go in any state, who've already promised to completely censor us, not simply from social media, which they're already doing every day. Of course, I was permanently banned from Twitter, and I've been banned from YouTube by Jewish Google with Sergey Brin.
Let me say, Dave, unlike Donald Trump, I do not disavow David Duke.
Well, when he did that the first election, I said, I understand. You do whatever you think you need to do, even though I don't think you should. Interestingly enough, Forbes magazine said that when I did support him, that it was actually the turning point for him winning the Republican nomination and the election, because it was a big signal to white people that this New Yorker with this New York accent and this pushy, brassy kind of personality that we Southerners don't really like very much, that it was okay to vote for him. And I do think he was the best choice of the people, and he was saying things that nobody ever said. And still, they hate him. There's no question that the Jewish establishment, I mean, they want blood. They got blood in their eye for this guy. I mean, they want to destroy him. I've never heard anything so vile and vicious against people in my life. The Jewish Republican, what they call the Republican Coalition, the Jewish Republican Jewish Coalition, Finkelstein was his actual name. Sounds like an old song from the mid-30s. But Finkelstein, who is their chief pollster for the Jewish Republican Coalition, said that the only politician that the Jewish people hate more than Donald Trump is David Duke.
Yeah.
Now that's an accolade. I'm gonna have to put that on my tombstone as a proof of product service, right?
Well, neither of you are really politicians, except that you run for office, and then once you try to run for an office, you actually won an office, but once you're in a good district down there, but it's like you almost have to try to please everybody, which you won't catch me running for any office.
It is. Sometimes when you're in politics, you know, you have to do the art of what's possible. You know, the famous leader in Germany, Bismarck, said politics is really the art of the possible. And that's the nature of politics in a democratic system. And the truth is the crowd often goes the wrong way. Sometimes they go the right way. I think mainly the crowd in America has been more for the right way than the wrong way, even though it's now being manipulated. And today we have to do this voting. And that's what I was going to bring up now is the nomination and the hearings for Barrett, right?
So yeah, I watched some of it, yeah.
Well, I've got a thing I'm going to play for it. Now, let me just give you and give the audience a little bit of a warning here before I play this and get into this discussion. There's no question in my mind that of the choice between her and some Democratic chosen one later on, or probably any other of the Trump ones he seemed to select, she's probably as good as any of them, but she leaves a lot to be desired. I have a lot of questions about whether she's going to defend her immigration laws, considering the fact that she adopted two Haitian kids, right? Bring them into a society. But I have a quote here, which was very important. I copied this was the ABC News last night. So I'm just going to play you the audio of Senator Durbin absolutely, you know, questioning Barrett. And I think that the line of questioning and the answers of Barrett are so indicative of the evil that's running our country and the total lack of truth, of validity to our public officials, what the media says or what people in politics say. So let me get this up for you. So here is a direct quote right out of ABC News last night. I'll share with you and the audience.
All over the country.
Good.
Here we go.
Perhaps the most emotional moment of the day came when Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois asked Barrett, the mother of two black children, about the racial anguish that's erupted in the country this year.
Have you seen the George Floyd video?
I have.
What impact did it have on you?
Senator, as you might imagine, given that I have two black children, that was very, very personal for my family. I was there, and my 17-year-old daughter, Vivian, who's adopted from Haiti, all of this was erupting. It was very difficult for her. We wept together in my room. My children, to this point in their lives, have had the benefit of growing up in a cocoon where they have not yet experienced hatred or violence. And for Vivian, you know, to understand that there would be a risk to her brother or the son she might have one day of that kind of brutality has been an ongoing conversation. It's a difficult one for us, like it is for Americans all over the country.
Very funny. Barrett was pressed today on the.
Okay, so first off, and again, this is amazing to think of. I've actually got a little thing I was working on last night to where, you know, the question and the answer you'd never have heard, right? Mm-hmm. But why you don't hear it is proof of the lies of the media and the brainwashing that they're dousing our people in. But even if you go into the text of what she said, okay, so here's this Democrat senator asking her if she watched the video of Floyd. Like a video, for instance, is going to really tell you whether a person's guilty or not. It's going to tell you or not whether there was racism behind the event, right? It's going to tell you anything, right? And so first off, let's just talk about how she answered and aspect of that and what she should have answered. So here's what the theme of the program was. Okay, so Durbin says, have you seen the George Floyd video, right? So Barrett says, I have, right? And then he says, well, you know, what kind of impact did it have on you? And she says, as you might imagine, given I have two black children, that it was very, very personal for me. Now, she never even questioned anything about the surrounding narrative, the lies around the Floyd video. Because if she would have seen, she may have, any of the body cam video, she knows the guy was acting crazy. He was on drugs. In fact, the autopsy showed that he wasn't killed by any police officer. He had three times the mm-hmm. amount of fentanyl and meth, right? You know, serious drugs, cocaine, three times that it would take to kill somebody. He was actually acting crazy. He wasn't choked to death by the police officers, as even the autopsy showed and the coroner showed. In fact, in the police car, when there was nobody on him, he was saying, I can't breathe for an hour. So obviously they didn't think it was can't breathe. So the narrative of this, that he was killed because he was a black person. I mean, you can't go, you know, what judge would go by one video of something in terms of making a judgment, a legal judgment? For instance, if she was a judge in a case, let's say she was a judge in a case, what kind mm-hmm. of judge would do that? I mean, you wouldn't. You wouldn't want to get all the facts. And there was never any evidence at all in this whole thing that anything was driven by racism. And the truth is, far more white people are killed by police than black people are killed by police. That's absolute fact. The fact is, in this country, that there are 10 times, 20 times almost, depending on the cases. And in terms of probability, it's 100 times, and I can quote data on that, that white people will be violently brutalized, mm-hmm. assaulted, raped, murdered, harmed, injured by blacks than blacks are assaulted by white. The probability is literally 100 times greater that an unknown black person would brutalize an unknown white person and back and forth. Mm-hmm. So she didn't say that. She could have said, well, Senator, first off, you know, I would never make a legal judgment off of a video. I wouldn't want to know all the facts, right? This is presented as a narrative of racism, but there's no evidence this cop, who, by the way, is married to a non-white person, that motivated.
Not only that, David, but a couple of those other cops that were on the scene were non-white. Yeah. And well, sure, Floyd has a long, felonious record. He's an ex-con, been to prison a couple of times.
Right.
He did a home invasion and spent 5 years in prison. I mean, there you talk about background. Durbin, I noticed him a couple of days ago. He's a Democrat senator, but he's from Illinois, and he actually pointed out that this year there had been 3,200 murders in Chicago, and he even said that they were mostly gangbangers, and this was on the gun question, and he was whining about how these black gangbangers could go to Indiana or Mississippi and pick up guns and bring them back to Chicago. Well, our problem's not guns, it's Negroes with guns, but he couldn't come out with that. But his statistics revealed it. 3,200 murders in Chicago, and the year's not even over. And the Justice Department wants to make a big deal of all the white supremacist murders since Oklahoma City back in April of 1995. And sure. They said like something like 541. Well, you take out 168 from the Oklahoma City bombing, but because McVeigh wasn't a white nationalist or white right. supremacist or whatever. He was anti-government, and the victims were mostly white. So then you get down to 300. Well, that's 25 years of so-called white murders. And how many is that per day against 3,200 in Chicago this year? I mean, the statistics.
Right.
The statistics don't lie, but liars like to use statistics. I'm sure you've heard that. And
I'll give you one example about human suffering and on a racial basis. The FBI and the Justice Department has been keeping data of criminality, violent crimes, by both victims, race of victim, and race of predator, of violator, right? And they've mm-hmm. been doing this for years. It's not easy to find, but you can go to the study. I just got this out of the, you know, out of the their crime site the other day. Anybody can check it out and verify it, right? So in 2018, that's the latest year, right? This is what the data shows from the Justice Department. And by the way, this was all done, and this has been compiled. This is not biased material. This is compiled by the Justice Department, which has been run by leftists for years. Eric Holder, and of course, Obama ruled it, they used before Trump came in. And the statistics show the same thing. And they've been showing for years and years that there are between 20 and 35,000 white women raped by black males every year, folks, every year, right, compared to almost zero. They usually say zero with an asterisk, you know, less than 10 for most years running. I mean, if that doesn't show racial animus, what does? They got books like Soul on Ice by Eldridge Cleaver, the former Black Panther, bragging. And he was actually charged with raping a white woman, and how that when he raped white women, he was getting revenge and hatred against the white race, right? Yeah, exactly. And that was Soul on Ice, by the way, for those that want to check it out. I tell truth here, folks, and that's why I'm banned.
He would jump over 10 nigger women to get to one white woman.
Oh, we're not going to use the N-word here, unfortunately.
Oh, no, I'm just quoting Eldridge Cleaver, you know, the honorable Eldridge Cleaver.
You can do that, I guess. But if they use it, I know how the lying media will say. You know, David Duke's talk show, which uses the N-word all the time. It's okay to use the term nigga for black people, like people you really like and in good skits on Saturday Night Live or whatever, or in music. But if you use what they say, then you're going to be accused of racism. If that's true, then those blacks are really racist. But go ahead.
Well, it's like the word queer, you know. The queers use it, but we're not supposed to use it.
No, they embrace it. They love being queer.
It just means peculiar, you know.
So,
I believe the Uniform Crime Report pretty well shows that 90% of interracial violent crime is black on white or minority on white, not white on black. So the statistics show that. And,
well, it really does. In fact, it shows even more than that if you do it on a per capita basis, and that's the fairest way to do it. In other words, because, I mean, the figures, so let me give you the figures I've just quoted, and I'll give you a little detail of that, right? So the figures that you get right out of the Justice Department, they give you a percentage of these violent crimes, and it's blacks, and it's Hispanics, and it's others, but I'm just going to do the black part of it, right? And they do the percentage of black violence, serious violence. This is like aggravated assault. It says sexual crimes, of force, you know, other, you know, and, you know, really violent, horrific crimes, right? So this is what the figure shows. The blacks, who are only 12% of the population, by the way, folks, they committed 200, and when you do the percentage, and then you just work it out, a little bit of mathematics.
Now, the black males are only 6% or 6.5%.
That's true. But, of course, the same thing is true, though, in terms of proportions. Of, you know, white males commit 10 more times crime than white females per capita. But anyway, so let's say the racial population is 13%, right, as compared to the white population is 60%. So 13% or 12 to 13%. It's probably a figure that's got to be more in the 12% range, because at least 1% of the black population is incapacitated with addictions or being sick in the hospitals or drug problems or being in jail, you know.
Well, they still make plenty of black babies.
They do that. So anyway, so the figure is, this is, you hold on to your hats, folks, because this is not what the media tells you. 203,263 white victims of black violent aggravated assaults, rapes and sexual assaults, and things of that nature and serious crimes. 203,000 white victims by blacks. On the opposite hand, 13,900 black victims of whites. And by the way, a lot of those black victims, in fact, the great majority of those black victims by whites, are blacks and whites, and alpha class Hispanics is that. They're in, you know, they're in battles over their turf, right? Their drug turf.
Now, aren't a lot of the white perpetrators Hispanic? And
yeah, sure.
And I mean, they count Jews as white and Semites.
Anyway, but you got to think, you know, the 203,000 white victims of blacks, that's overwhelmingly totally innocent people. Elderly women, and this, even elderly women, raped and murdered in their homes from black intruders. Armed robbery. Half of the armed robberies in this country are committed by this 12% of the population. Half of those victims actually are also white, right? Half of the victims are in this country. These are just innocent people, right? Women who are raped in their homes. These are innocents, right? And then if you look at, you know, 203,000 black, you know, attacks, violent attacks against whites, and only 13,900 against blacks by whites. And then you take it, the 60% of the population is white, right? And 12% of the population is black. So we got 12% doing 203,000 violent crimes against white people. And you got 60% doing only 13,000 crimes against black people. You put that together and use a little mathematics, which, you know, we tend to use on this show. But we have to remember, folks, remember now, mathematics is racist. So the scientific method is racist. But with mathematics, it shows that blacks, by these figures just extrapolated out, the number of whites and the number who hurt blacks, that 60% of the population hurting 13% of the population or less, and then you look at the 12% of the population, you know, attacking white people. And then you add up those figures and put them together and you run it into a formula and you find out that the probability, and this is used quite a bit for anything, so like same thing with probabilities of cancer for different conditions, right? The probability means that blacks are 100 times more likely. If you got unknown cases, right, of an assault against a white person, assault against black people, blacks are 100 times more likely to commit violent, horrible, brutal crimes against whites than vice versa. And yet that's not the rhetoric, is it? That's not what they
That's a good case for whites to want to separate from the blacks. Yeah. And why do they keep calling us supremacists when we want to be separate and you can't possibly be supreme over blacks when they're not in our midst?
You've been listening to National Alliance Chairman William White Williams' interview on the David Duke Radio Show on the Rents Radio Network. This program has been edited for broadcast. We'll continue with part two of this significant interview next week, right here on American Dissident Voices.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Resolutionrdo.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists The Marxists have one fatal error in their doctrine. A place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they say, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers, and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are off. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now let me, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you, we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into power in Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something for the state. can be in business, and the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.